How would you define violence?
Fairly simply, I would say that it's that when no is not a complete sentence, when somebody says no, and then subsequently somebody would say it tries to impose what they want on another person.
Frank is a leader in the Community Beyond Violence class and has been educating people on how to have healthy and balanced relationships for nearly 20 years. How do you think the average person deals with violence on a daily, day-to-day basis?
Well, we believe, my observation is that we deal with it, what we call post-traumatic adaptive patterns. That most of us, when we experience some form of violence, experience some form of trauma, we feel like we got hit. And then after we've been hit, we're in what we call a post-traumatic state. And then we come up with a way to adapt to that because we're human and human beings that's what we're best at, is adapting. And then we put a pattern together. We have a certain way to do it. And so we call these a post-traumatic adaptive pattern. I think that's how most people adapt. What was the question? To adapt to violence?
How they deal with violence.
They deal with violence, yeah. They deal with it by running a pattern that they've run before, like laughing it off or dismissing it or just going, or being like embarrassed or...
Yeah, that could be anything, like addictions.
Right. Or the post-traumatic adaptive patterns we refer to as reactions, habits, addictions, comfort zone. So I got my comfort zone. So the way I deal with violence is I just stay in my comfort zone. I don't speak up. You know, I don't confront. Okay. I just go along. And PTSD would be another example of a post-traumatic adaptive pattern. We've had a big trauma. And then now I tend to be over hyper-vigilant for that violence to happen again. Mm-hmm. And we believe that there are mental patterns and physical patterns in this post-traumatic adaptive pattern. There's ways of thinking and similarly ways of holding the body, posture, mm-hmm. Your posture towards a person who's been violent to you may be one where you have to take a submissive posture, mm-hmm. so that they don't do it again.
Yeah.
For instance.
How do you feel about the phrase, what would it be like?
I like to use the phrase, what would it be like, as a substitute or instead of the commonly used phrase, which is, you should. Mm-hmm. You should do this, you should do that. When I say to somebody, you should do this or you should do that, to me, what I'm doing at that point is I'm trying to impose on them, I'm trying to coerce them, I'm trying to force them, I'm trying to control them, mm-hmm. to do something that I want them to do. Okay? So we call violence, we say violence. What if violence was the enforcement arm of dominance? I'm trying to dominate somebody. I'm trying to make sure that they do what I want them to do. Okay? So one of the ways it's commonly expressed is, you should do this. Lincoln, you should do this. Mm-hmm. They should do that. Those people should do this. Right? So what we're looking to do here is shift that language to a more equal language, more respectful, mutually respectful language. And invite that person to consider, what would it be like if you were to whatever? What would it be like if you were to do all your homework on time? What would it be like if you were to take care of your things?
Yeah.
What would it be like if you were to participate in the household chores and the family chores? Mm-hmm. What would it be like to be kinder, more kind to your younger brother?
Yeah.
What would that be like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it invites that person to consider these things on their own, to see if there's something that they would like to do, that they would agree to do, as opposed to, you should be nicer to your younger brother.
Okay. Yeah. How do you think we can have more balanced relationships?
Well, we propose that there seem to be five things that human beings want out of life. And we propose that we want to be seen. However, we mean by being seen, we want to be seen for what we are, not who we are. We make this distinction between who and what. Who we are, we look at, consider is, what would it be like, I'm using this phrase, right? What would it be like to be considered for not what you looked like, how old you were, how much money you had, what kind of car you had, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What would it be like to be seen as a miracle of life on planet Earth in the middle of, or in this solar system in the universe? What would it be like to consider that every person, every being was a miracle? Because when we start looking at it, it's pretty miraculous to be a human being.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So to then say, oh, well, he's a this or she's a that, it dismisses, it doesn't see them anymore. It turns them into, do they fit some sort of role or expectation that I have for them? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, she's too fat. He's no good at sports. Oh, he's a nerd. She's a whatever. So we have these judgments. So we don't see that person anymore. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would it be like to be seen as a creative expression of the universe, shall we say?
For your authentic self.
Yeah. To be seen as a miracle that has intrinsic value and has a specific qualities and the creativity, things that only you can create from your experiences and your talents and your abilities. Okay, we want to be seen. We believe that people want to be heard. We doing okay? Okay. We want to be heard, and by heard we mean to be listened to, be heard from the heart, as opposed to be listened to with the intention of manipulating.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of times people will say, I'm listening. I'm listening to what you say. However, what's really going on or seems to be going on is they're listening for ways to get you to do what they want you to do. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about hearing you.
It's listening
person
with
to person.
The intent of manipulation.
Yeah. So hearing, what would it be like, as they say, to open one's heart, to open the heart and hear what you have to say?